Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
All right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, and we are happy to be with you at 414-799-1250. You can also reach us Twitter, Facebook, and the Gram at 105.7 FM, The Fan, radio.com app as well. The Bucks lose yesterday afternoon, and the Brewers lose last night. And I think that we feel two different ways about these teams. With the Bucks, we'll get into that in a little bit. I think I know if there is panic, I think I know why there might be at least some concern. And it really has nothing to do with the Bucks. It has everything to do with every other team and some of the other games you're watching. So that we will get into within the hour. The Brewers last night lose 3-2, and this was a tough loss again. They had a lead. They gave up the lead. I mean, we've seen this before. We saw this two nights ago. Devin Williams came in instead of Josh Hader. Again, no Josh Hader. Devin Williams pitched well. There was an error behind him with Sogard. So, I mean, I would have liked to see Hader there too, but it was the error that did it. And Brent Suter came in, pitched well at the end. But the White Sox got their runs, sixth and seventh inning. It was Jose Abreu again, and the Brewers fall 3-2. They had chances to plate runs. One of those guys that had opportunities was Christian Yelich, who was 0-for-3 last night and struck out three times. This was a game that featured a lot of strikeouts looking, and Christian Yelich was the victim of that as well. I've never seen him strike out like this so often, especially looking. I don't know what he's looking for. But as this game was going down last night, you know, I'm searching on Twitter and seeing what people are saying. And the overwhelming thought was, I mean, there's a bunch of thoughts. This team maybe isn't good enough, or, you know, there's a bunch of thoughts as to why they are struggling. They're 3-5. Even in a short season, it is still early. You go down to Chicago, pick up two, and you're right back at 500. But I think what the big concern with the Brewers is this just doesn't look like the Brewers that we've come to know the last few years. And I talked a lot yesterday about the lineup. You know, the names in the lineup aren't as maybe intimidating as the names in the lineup were a year ago. But I think for a lot of you, it might go a little deeper than that, or maybe not even deeper. Maybe it's just more on the surface. This team right now, and it could be because we don't know these guys. It could be because they don't know each other super well. It could be because as they were getting to know each other, there was a pandemic which shut things down. But they just don't seem to be bringing the same sort of fun that we're used to. The Brewers have been a fun team to watch. I mean, how many times have you heard that or said that or thought that? It's just fun to watch them. It's fun to watch Arcia, and I'm going to bring up some names here. Jesus Aguilar celebrating in the dugout, or Lorenzo Cain was a big reason to that. There's just a lot of guys that, you know, made this team fun. It like started with Carlos Gomez and just continued for the next decade. Even when they were bad, they had guys that it was fun to watch them have fun. And right now, again, it could be because we don't know these guys super well or for a multitude of different reasons, but it's just not as fun watching this team right now. And you might think, all right, pandemic, you know, how these guys are worried about everything. They're worried that the season's not going to be finished. They're worried about their kids. They're worried about their family. They're worried about themselves. You know, that very well could be it. But I look at some other teams, and I'm going to bring up the Cubs. Even last night, their entire dugout was like in sync chanting. They're a group that's known each other a longer time. So maybe there is more of that looseness there. I don't know what it is, but as I watch this Brewers team, Horvat, I watch them and there is something flat to it. I'm not going to say it's a chore. We're so glad sports are back. I mean, don't get me wrong there, but they just, something is missing, and it could be just Lorenzo Cain. I mean, it could just be that, but something is definitely missing from this team right now, and I think it's the fun factor.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a completely different roster. Like, it is, but it isn't. You know what I mean? You got some of the usual suspects with Christian Yelich, and he just continues to struggle. Another 0 for last night, 0 for 3, 3 strikeouts. He's in his own head right now. He's pressing way too much. I don't know what's going on, and I don't know when he snaps out of it. I thought this weekend would have been a big series against the Cardinals because historically he owns Cardinals pitching, but that series gets scrapped. Now you start all over with the White Sox, and he just hasn't showed up right now. Keston Hira shows flashes, but again, you need more protection for Christian Yelich in that lineup, and then when you have struggles from him last night, you know, you're in big trouble. Ben Gamble's right now probably your best hitter, but it just feels different this year because, you know, Yasmani Grandal, he's gone. And you only had him for a year, but you face off against him last night, and you're like, man, I would take that bat in the lineup. I miss his offense. Mike Moustakas is gone. You know, we haven't really seen Josh Hader a whole lot this year.
Even missing Eric Thames.
Eric Thames, yeah. Corey Knebel, he hasn't been great. Again, I'm going to give him a free pass. I'm going to give him a couple appearances before I really judge. You know, again, we didn't see him last night. Devin Williams, he's kind of a disaster a little bit. I don't care what anybody says. I don't trust him whatsoever. So right now, it's just not the same team as it's been the last 3-4 years where, you know, you brought up the Cubs and, you know, like the last couple of years when Joe Maddon was their manager, it seemed like they were just bored. Like they won their World Series and then they were just kind of done with it. And you'd look at their dugout and it'd be dead. And then you'd look at the Brewers dugout and they'd be messing around, like using cups as goggles or high-fiving each other and having a good time in the dugout. You just don't see that same type of energy. So I completely agree. It's like something's flat. And you think, man, I mean, you've heard Craig Counsell how many times say, baseball's not even really on my mind right now. He's worried about his guys. He's worried about the travel with Major League Baseball. Again, I don't know why you go to Chicago tonight. I think that that's stupid, to be quite honest with you. I should have just played this whole series at Miller Park. But, you know, Lorenzo Cain opts out, so now he's done. That's one of your leaders in the clubhouse. He's been huge the last couple of years, not only just getting on the bags, you know, minus last year when I know he had his struggles, but he's been huge at the leadoff spot. So you lose not only that bat, him in the field. I mean, you brought it up yesterday. I mean, that's a guy that should have multiple gold gloves. He continues to get robbed every year, finally gets some respect now. But I think when you lose a guy like that, when you lose guys like Moose, I mean, there's another guy that's a World Series, former World Series champion right there. A veteran in the clubhouse. You lose a guy like Grandal, you lose those vets, but you also lose a lot of those guys that were the reason you were having fun in the clubhouse. Even a guy like Zeus, who right now is hitting the hell out of the ball.
Yeah.
And so it's just a completely different team. And like you said, man, a lot of these guys don't even really know each other a whole lot yet, you know, because you get to know each other at spring training, and that got scrapped, spring training part one. You come back for spring training part two, but every day, these guys are checking social media to see if their games have been canceled. So I think it's just a disastrous start, and I think that's because there's a lot of new faces and because Lorenzo Cain opting out. And, right now, just kind of a little bit of a mess. But I think a lot of it falls, obviously, on the shoulders of Christian Yelich because you need him to step up and at least start getting on the bags. I mean, he's got to at least be hitting 200.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's hitting .088, and the on-base percentage is double that, which is still very bad. 162. Mark tweets in. He says, at 105.7 FM, the fan, at Winks thinks at Brewers, cheap. And that, you know, that is part of it. This offseason, they certainly did search on the discount rack. They had a lot of guys that were good, and they thought, how can we get that guy for maybe 40% of the price, but also 40% of the talent? So it's not like they found a better bargain. They just paid less money for less talent. So by definition, I would agree with Mark there on that one. I tried a different spin last night. I went with blaming the Cardinals. I blamed the Cardinals. Now, yes, the offseason was very bad. I think David Stearns did a lot of things that were not terrific. I don't like the trade for Grisham. I think the fun factor is missing. Brandon Woodruff Burner tweeting, we lost literally everyone who made this team fun. Yelich is scared because of his knee. Everyone else is scared because of the virus. On this team, no one's got the mindset to play competitive baseball. So then I thought, yeah, I mean, the fun thing, the Stern stuff, but let's blame someone else. Let's blame someone else for our problems. And so I blamed the Cardinals, because had the Cardinals come to town and not had contracted COVID wherever they did, again, not the virus shame, but let's just blame the Cardinals for a minute.
Yeah, I'm completely fine with that, by the way. I agree, you can't virus shame, but if it comes down to the Cardinals, yeah. I mean, this is a team that historically...
Let's do it.
These guys have been ruining my life since I was my kid's age at six, so yeah.
Best fans in baseball. Best virus-contracting team in baseball.
Biggest. Never mind.
So they have COVID. They can't play. The whole weekend was up in the air. I wish they would have just canceled it outright, but instead you have these guys thinking they're going to play. They don't play a game. Because of this weekend, Christian Yelich doesn't have those games against the Cardinals, who he's fared well against, to maybe break the slump. Most likely because of this weekend, Lorenzo Cain opted out. So you can almost blame the Cardinals for Lorenzo Cain opting out. And then they don't play a game for 5 days. They've got to go play the White Sox. So there's a lot of reasons why this team is missing something. The fun factor's not there. Christian Yelich is struggling.
Not very good.
I read a tweet on the way in that said, the only explanation for Yelich, it has to be girl problems. That is the only thing that makes sense.
Highly doubt it. He's got way too much money to have girl problems. He's got 99 problems, I promise you. But
yeah, if he's got girl problems, every girl I know wants to be with him.
Yeah, even though he looks like Pete Davidson. So shout out to him. Shout out to like professional athletes. Scottie Pippen, another great example. Ugly dude. Had a hot wife for the majority of his life, but now I think she's with like Future or something like that.
The fun factor missing, but I'm gonna blame the Cardinals. But again, it was a heavy weekend. It clearly affected Craig Counsell as we played you a few times yesterday, and maybe because of him, the guys take on the personality of their manager, and if he's a little downtrodden, look, he saw his friend. This also is a weekend. Pat Murphy had a heart attack at the ballpark. That's a big deal. That's a big deal because Pat Murphy, the bench coach, someone these guys all look up to, him and Counsell's relationship, it's like big brother, little brother, I'd describe it as. Murphy was Counsell's coach at Notre Dame, and then they're in the big leagues managing together. Murphy used to manage for the Padres. As soon as he loses that job, Counsell races to the phone to get him over here. And they are. It's like friends. It's like big brother, little brother. And that was a good relationship for the clubhouse to see. And that was a good relationship, for Counsell to have. And then that guy has a heart attack at the ballpark. Everyone sees it. And he's doing well from all accounts. Doing well. But still, it was a heavy weekend for the Brewers. And now you're asking these guys to go play baseball. So I think the fun thing is huge when it comes to the Brewers and the struggling. And I think maybe they don't have the confidence in themselves right now either. You look at Christian Yelich and Keston Hira both 0-for-3 last night. So a tough loss for the Brewers, 3-2. They lose again to the Chicago White Sox. Where it places them in the National League Central, let's take a look, because, again, this whole thing is a mess. I guess we got to go by winning percentage at this point. So the Cubs have an 81% winning percentage. I'll just go through wins and losses. It's easier in baseball. 9-2. Reds are 5-6. So if the season ended today, Mark, our Reds would be in the playoffs because they took second in the division. So they're 5-6. Cardinals are 2-3. So they'd be third. This is a mess. Brewers are 3-5. And then the Pirates are 2-9. The best, I think, most like crazy part of all of this is in the NL East, the Braves are 8-4, but they're not in first because you go by winning percentage. The Marlins are 3-1.
Yeah, they won again last night.
They won last night with 18 new dudes. They win 4-0. You see their lineup, though? Their lineup, they've got VR in there. They had Lewis Brinson in there.
Mm-hmm.
They had Jonathan VR in there. They had Monty Harrison in there, another former prospect. He was in that Yelich deal. Brandon Kinsler pitched. I mean, there's a lot of – they just picked up Mike Moran, who was a Brewer for like an hour.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of former Brewers on that team.
Yeah.
And they had an impact last night. So
they just keep winning. I don't know how they do it. I mean, Grant, well, they beat the Orioles.
Keep winning. They played four games.
Hey, that's the first place Marlins you're talking about.
They haven't played in a week and a half.
Well, it was funny. Everybody's like, well, it's just the Marlins. And I'm like, well, they're in first place. You can't just kill them.
they're 3-1.
Can't send them to Korea. Yeah.
Better than the 8-4 Braves. So that's where we're at with the Brewers. We're here from Craig Council. We can hear from you guys. 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. And then we will talk about the Bucks' loss, afternoon loss to the Nets yesterday. And I think, you know, as you watch the Bucks, you worry a little bit, but I don't think it's because of what you see with the Bucks. I think it's because of what we see with other teams. And we'll hit that in about 15 minutes. But we'll hear from Craig Council, more on the Brewers, plenty from you. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, 105.7 FM, The Fam.
And he hits a bullet. Oh, what a play by Hira. Recovers, throw to first in time. Wow.
That's big league right there.
Keston Hira with an absolute gem out in the grass on the ship to take care of Moncada.
Yeah, good to see he's got the arm strength to be able to get up. It's a long throw out there and a short run.
It's always great when, you know, you make something like this is my focus. This is what I need to improve on. And it's 8 games, so it's a small sample, but he's played wonderfully. He really has. I mean, he's made some really nice plays, been very consistent in everything he's done. So the play tonight was just a spectacular play. I would say that's probably the best play we've seen him make. Really. So, and it was a run saving play. So, the work continues, and it doesn't stop, but, when you get some feedback that your work is helping you and taking you in the right direction, that's a good feeling.
That's Craig Council on the play from Christian Yelich, Keston Hira, Fox Sports, Wisconsin, which they did feature some of the cardboard cutouts last night. Although, still my fear is when they feature cardboard cutouts, they're going to show Brian Anderson's dog and Hank Aaron. I want to see my cardboard cutout. I want to see your cardboard cutout. I want to see your dog. I want to see the $50 we all spent on those things. I want to see those. And I want to see more than one half inning with Sophia up there. You make her go all the way up there, you might as well show a couple more of them. So, better job from the Brewers, but I want to see some more cardboard cutouts on the broadcast. The White Sox have a bunch of them, and the Brewers will be in Chicago tonight. Again, when I first looked at the schedule, this was the thing that, like, stood out for me right away. And this was the thing where I thought, why are we doing 2-game series? There's a pandemic. You don't want your teams to travel. And yet you're making them travel. So the Brewers, they came home. They were home this week and obviously no game. Then they played 2 against Chicago. Then they got to drive down to Chicago, play 2, and then come back and play the Reds. I believe this is the only time that happens, at least. The 2-2, back-to-back. So you know, it could be worse, but I still, this week does not make sense to me in that regard. The alternative would be, well, play tonight, just let the White Sox be the quote-unquote home team. I mean, they're not going to complain. They're having success at Miller Park right now anyway. What do they care? Why would they want to leave? Brewers can't hit it anywhere. They're not. I mean, Ben Gamel hit a home run. That was fun, but they can't do much more than that. I don't know if it matters where they play right now. Wild Dime tweets in, says, I think more players are thinking like Braun and Kane, where they aren't sure if they even want to play some days, and it's just throwing chemistry off, messing with confidence. And like you said, the fun has gone away. Never thought this was our year. See, I looking at this from afar, or even just not in the clubhouse, I think that, yes. I mean, I think it's easy to say maybe it's the events of the weekend. Maybe not playing affected them. Craig Counsell does not believe in that. He takes the other standpoint.
I think we're back into it. We got some offensive guys that are just not on it right now, and I think that could happen, in any kind of scenario in the season. And so, you know, when you go through that, it's tough to score, and that's kind of where we're sitting at right now, is that we got a couple guys that just aren't swinging the bat well, and so it makes it our offensive chances. It's hard to sustain some stuff, and that's kind of what we've run into. The thing we've been missing, you know, for the first eight games is just a big inning. We've had one big inning, the night in Pittsburgh. I guess we had two big innings in Pittsburgh, but we've missed that, with stringing a bunch of hits together.
Craig Counsell talking after the Brewers lose yesterday, again, 3-2 the final, and they're now 3-5 on the season. I did tweet yesterday because, you're trying to figure out, well, what's going on here? And not playing the weekend, I think it did hurt. If the guys are slumping, that's three games that they didn't have to get out of that slump. And so I tweeted last night at Wings Thinks, the Cardinals really screwed over the Brewers, because, you know, it's fun to blame other people. Milwaukee seems lost mentally. Who knows how the season plays out if the Brewers were able to play last weekend? Plus, we probably still have Kane. Maybe not. Maybe he sees some of the other events. But for Lorenzo Kane, if you're like, all right, I'm going to give it a go. I'm on the edge here. I'm on thin ice, but I'm going to give it a go. And then you call your wife and kids and you say, hey, there's no game today. Two Cardinals players have coronavirus and maybe a bunch more. And some of their coaches were at the ballpark on Thursday, so who knows? You know, we don't know. So even if you're like on the very edge of the breaking point, that happens. That's probably the thing that helped push him over. Some of the responses from you guys. Patty says they had a miserable weekend and they didn't even play one inning of baseball. It takes a toll. Randy tweets in, I'm finding it real tough to get excited about Smoke, Healy, Morrison, and Holt. Hopefully they start to produce, but they were on the scrap heap for a reason. I think those guys, you know, when you have a team like Yelich, Hira, Braun, Kane, Grandal, Moose, and you bring in Logan Morrison, I think that he can then fit into the culture. He's friends with Yelich from their Marlins days. And maybe, you know, he scratched the ticket and it works. Or you bring in Justin Smoke. You know, he's got some power, could play first, fit into that lineup. I think when you bring in a guy or two like that, you can, it can work because you've already got something established. But they've completely turned this thing over, the Brewers have. It's not just those guys I mentioned and Smoke. It's half of those guys I mentioned, Smoke, Healy, Morrison, and Holt. I'll bring up the Cubs again. I will. They've got their core of guys that have been there for a while. Rizzo, Bryant, Schwarber, Hayward, Baez. You know, they've got their guys. They've got their guys that have been there a while. So when you bring in like Ian Kinsler, He just fits in. But if you like tried to bring in Kinsler and Morrison and Healy, and in the process you got rid of Schwarber and Rizzo. You know, that's just, it's just different. It's a different makeup to that team. And I think that's what we're seeing with the Brewers now. And I don't know how far chemistry goes in baseball. You know, I really don't, because a lot of it is singular plays. It's one guy at the plate against one guy on the mound. And maybe he hits it to one guy at second. You know, you got to have good chemistry, I guess, in the infield or work on the double plays and that kind of stuff. But chemistry on the surface matters less in baseball than maybe other sports, basketball, football, where every play to succeed, you need somebody else to help you to succeed. But you look at some of these teams, and it is the teams that are having fun and trying to take things seriously and get through this and win that are succeeding. And a team like the Brewers, who really just seem to be frustrated and struggling and, you know, swimming upstream, that it seems to be a little tougher for them. Josh says they weren't playing great offensively prior to that either. The offense is putrid up and down the lineup. Max tweets in and says, Bart, I'm surprised to see you blame the Cardinals instead of taking the angle I thought you'd take. I was right about all of my complaints this offseason. I said, I'll save that one for the air, which I didn't want Moose gone. I didn't want Grandal gone. I didn't like the Grisham trade. I wanted another pitcher. And the pitching staff is what helped me buy in a little more. Again, it is early. Even though it is a sprint, it is early. They could win these next two. They could win two or three against the Reds this weekend, and we're right back in it. Just where we're at now, 2 weeks into the season, we've had a series called off, and we look at this team, it just doesn't look like they're comfortable or having fun or whatever you want to say. It looks different. It's a different Brewers product than we were used to. Bart, did you really think a team rolling out Jed Jerko, Justin Smoke, and Logan Morrison was going to have a chance at success? Probably not. Nathan says this team was put together from a lost and found bin. Common thought there. So that's where the Brewers are at right now. I think, you know, we can look at, oh, Yelich is struggling. That's a big part of it. We can look at, where's Josh Hader? Why don't they go to him in situations where they think we should? But when you come down to, if there's one reason, the team just doesn't look like the team. The Brewers don't look like the Brewers that we've known the last few years. 414-799-1250, that's the deal with the Brewers, at least what we think. With the Bucks, they lose yesterday too, and I know there's some concern there, and I don't think the concern you have with the Bucks is because of the Bucks. I think every other team is making maybe the worry about the Bucks a little stronger. We'll go into detail and explain that coming up. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, and you. 414-799-1250.
Now, a Green and Gold training camp up.
Giannis out of the good ball.
Now with 10 made threes.
Wawel Cabarro just has no chance. Giannis, nice job. Little shake left, getting lead in that direction. Ole.
Ole, ole, ole. Bucks, the Bucks lose to the Nets yesterday. I don't think we expected that. I know that Horvat didn't expect that. We were trying to figure out what the spread was before the game. It was 18 points in the Bucks' favor. Again, Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. You bet Bucks to cover the spread.
I did.
And
they didn't.
They did not.
No, they didn't, which was a weird day. Actually, no favorite in the NBA won yesterday. It was all underdogs. And luckily, I had the Phoenix Suns. I was right on that one. They won outright as Devin Booker hit a game winner. That was awesome to watch.
It was just kind of a weird Tuesday.
I had the Miami Heat. I did not. Then I played one favorite has to win, and so I jumped on the Rockets last night, and the Blazers beat them because Carmelo Anthony is all of a sudden the GOAT again. So
clutch three.
It was a weird day in the NBA, but do you think they're freaking out in Los Angeles today, Clippers fans, because they lost to the Suns?
No.
Now, granted, that's a real basketball team. DeAndre Ayton is the real deal. Devin Booker is on another level right now, one of the better players in the league. The team that you lost to, the Bucks, that is a G League team. But still, I mean, I'm not really overly concerned. If Giannis and Chris Middleton went back in that game in the second half and they lost to the Nets, I'd be concerned. But I'm not really concerned with Sterling Brown and Dante DiVincenzo not being able to beat the Nets. It sucks. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I lost money on it, but
I was trying to figure out how to feel. I mean, even in the first half, they were down, I think, 8, and they gave up 73 points to the Nets in the first half, or whatever version of the Nets they were playing. And
yeah,
and you do watch that, and you are concerned. Underdogs going a perfect 6-0, as you mentioned, against the spread yesterday. Mm-hmm. The Nets went over the Bucks. Got up to a 19-point spread. It was the biggest winning point spread dog since 1993.
25 years.
So you may have seen like headlines and historic win for the, and you're thinking, what was so historic about this? Well, it was just the spread, and then the Nets covered the spread. But again, it was a weird game where,
and they won outright.
They're working Eric Bledsoe back. The Bucks starters played the first half. Giannis played 16 minutes. And then they sat in the second half, and even in the end of the first half, some of those other guys were getting run, like the Frank Masons, and, you know, they were going very deep into their bench. And, you know, the bench mob tied it, and they almost won the game at the end. I mean, it still became a competitive game, so if at the end of the Rockets game, being in a competitive game like that was good for the Bucks, you know, it doesn't hurt for these guys to play that well. Now, they do as a team have to execute better down the stretch in these close games, something they've not had a lot of experience with this season, going back to pre-COVID times. Oh, those glorious pre-COVID times. So they do need to work on that. But I think what the concern is, because you're right, there's, you know, some of these teams are 1-2. I think the Celtics are 1-2, and since the restart, and the Clippers are 1-2. And you don't see a lot of people saying, oh, well, what's going to be wrong with the Clippers? Oh, they played Suns, they lost. Bucks, they played the Rockets, they lost. And then whatever yesterday's game was, they lost. I think what's being misconstrued is this bubble, this return, the play has been so good. They're saying it's a shooter's gym. It's a shooter's gym. There's something to, I forget who said it, but he said, you know, when you have a smaller gym like this.
It's Korver.
It was somebody from a different team. Korver said stuff similar. But another guy said, when you have a small gym like this and you start hitting, there's like, you just feel like you can hit better in these kind of gyms. You're seeing guys who had, not mediocre, but, you know, we don't talk a lot about TJ Warren throughout the regular season. He's become the all-star of this bubble. Gary Trent Jr. is a guy who's making a ton of shots for Portland. There's these guys that are just playing above and beyond, and they're shooting. They're hitting their shots. Jeff Green has been hitting his shots. He's been playing very well for the Rockets. So you're seeing more of that. So I think one of the things you're seeing is these bubble games, even for the games that don't appear to be the playoffs, it feels like the playoffs. And because it feels like the playoffs for every other game we see with the Bucks yesterday, it feels like the playoffs, but it's not. So at the end of all of this, yesterday's game means nothing, standing-wise.
Right.
Now, there's things you can deduce from it. You can say, oh, I wish this was better. I wish this was better. But standing-wise, it doesn't matter. The Bucks will still, all they need to do is win one, or the Raptors need to lose one, and they're the one seed. The one seed barely matters. Even if the Lakers take over the number one overall seed,
yeah,
what, they get more of their virtual fans for a game? That barely matters. They're playing in the same gym. So I'm just saying, when this season is over, mm-hmm, whether it's after a second round exit or an NBA Finals victory, this game that we saw yesterday is out of our consciousness. And the game against the Rockets,
yeah,
it doesn't matter. Those games don't affect where we're going down. So I think one of the things with the Bucks right now is the rest of the NBA has been so good, and even if these other teams are losing, the games seem so much like playoff games that when the Bucks lose, we kind of react to it a little stronger than maybe we need to.
Yeah, the one thing that does concern me, and it's been out there, but the blueprint on how to beat the Bucks, the one thing that does concern me, a day like yesterday, and then Sunday night as well, is that There's been some rumors that some teams in the bubble, some guys in the bubble, have been communicating on the blueprint to beat the Bucks. And what concerns me...
Garrett Temple flat out said it. They saw the Rockets at the pool.
Yeah, yeah. They saw them at the pool, which is...
But what did the Rockets tell them? Make sure Giannis doesn't play the second half?
Well, no. I mean, well, that's a good point right there. I think, obviously, the Bucks win that game. They beat a team like the Nets if Giannis and Middleton are able to play in the second half. But are they going to beat a team like the Heat, who yesterday, what a great win for the Heat. They played without Jimmy Butler last night and still beat the Boston Celtics. And they did it because guys are knocking down jumpers. The blueprint on how to beat the Bucks is shoot a bunch of threes. Sunday night, the Rockets shoot, what, 62 threes, 61 threes, tie an NBA record. Yesterday, the Nets shoot 58 threes. So the Bucks are, and this is, I mean, the blueprint's been out there, and Bud is not going to make that adjustment. They're going to take away the rim, they're not going to give up easy buckets, and they're going to force you to beat them by shooting jumpers. But what does concern me a little bit is in this bubble right now, teams do have some confidence that they could beat this team. And teams are playing with a lot of confidence. Indiana yesterday looked really good. Now, you could say what you want about the Orlando Magic, but they're a good offensive team. Indiana looked great yesterday. You brought up TJ Warren. All of a sudden, he is Kevin Durant. He's Kawhi Leonard.
Best player in the bubble.
He didn't miss a shot in the first quarter. He had 16 points. He started 3-of-3 from three. So he's shooting the ball well. Oladipo looks really good. Malcolm Brogdon looks really good. There's a team that nobody's talking about. Miami, who I keep sleeping on myself. Again, yesterday, no Jimmy Butler. They may be a better team without Jimmy Butler. I keep saying they're a superstar away. The basketball never stops moving when he's not on the floor. Anybody on that team could get their own bucket as well. Tyler Hero, he only scored 11 yesterday, but he looked pretty good, and they got shooters just surrounding all those guys. So that is what concerns me a little bit, is a couple losses like this. Some teams in this bubble are starting to build some confidence. Phoenix yesterday against the Clippers, I know that's out west, but like the Clippers would go on these runs to answer back, you know, an 8-0 run with Kawhi and Paul George on the floor. The Suns didn't budge at all. They're playing with a lot of confidence right now. Some of these young teams, like, they have nothing to lose, man. You know, you're not, there's no nightlife anymore. You're not going to the casino. There's no Instagram models all over the place. All you have to do right now is play and focus on basketball. And a lot of these teams, even these younger teams, are playing with a lot of confidence right now. And the blueprint on how to beat the Bucks is out there. Take the basket away from Giannis. Make him shoot jumpers. And then you force, you shoot jumpers. And when you shoot 30, 40% against this team, you could beat on any given night.
Yeah, I think with this bubble, every team, you know, even the Heat and the whoever, the Raptors, a lot of these teams look like the best version of themselves. So I don't know what they've been doing in this off time, but a lot of these teams look like a better version of the teams that we last saw them be, and people are making their shots. That's a huge part of this game. If you take shots and you make them, you're going to have more success than if you don't. Look at that. I got this job with that kind of breakdown analysis. But they are. They're making their shots more. So if the Bucks, if their whole theory is, well, we'll just let guys shoot the open three and we're going to assume that they're going to miss more than they make. All right. It's a good theory because it works. But now in this gym with this different environment.
And in today's NBA.
This bubble is... Things aren't going to play out the same way. Things are not going to play out the same way in the bubble that they would have normally, because even though, right, Giannis and Middleton didn't play in the second half, the Nets, they come out and say, well, we saw the Rockets at the pool, and we talked about... That would never happen. The Nets went down to relax at a team at the pool, and they saw the Houston Rockets at the same pool.
I'm surprised anybody on the Rockets noticed anybody on the Nets. Like, who the hell are those guys? Seriously. TLC?
Harden's probably like, you say you're with the Nets?
Right.
The Brooklyn Nets?
Right, exactly.
And he's like, well,
G League team.
He's like, well, there's nobody else here. If they say they're with the Nets, I mean, they're not just a random family that came here. They have to be in the NBA, so...
Yeah.
All right, you want to know how to beat the Bucks?
But
here you go.
Right.
Shoot threes.
And I think that's like the other thing that is a little scary is right now the Heat, they defend. Like they hold the Celtics, again, without Jimmy Butler, probably their best perimeter defender yesterday. They hold the Celtics to 106 points. The Celtics shot 30% only from three. They only hit 10 threes. The Heat shot 35% from three, 44% from the floor. So they defend and they knock down jumpers. And even if you're sleeping on the Heat, you can't ignore what the Raptors are doing. And they're back in action today. But after that victory over the Lakers, I mean, they shut down Anthony Davis and LeBron James the final 4 minutes of that game. Again, it's the regular season, but the other thing they do is they knock down jumpers, and they have four or five guys, you know, that could hit five or six threes in a game. So some of these teams, that's, I guess, what's more concerning, is some of these teams in this bubble right now are playing with a lot of confidence and looking good. Indiana, Miami, and Toronto stand out the most. I think Boston is heavily overrated. I just still think that, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's easy for me to say that. Well, we'll see what happens when Kemba Walker starts playing real minutes. Right now, they have him on the restrictions.
David tweets in and says, this free-flow AAU style of basketball that you're seeing in the bubble doesn't really work well for the Bucks.
Yeah, agreed. Okay.
Seems like most of the guys in the bubble are just hooping. Bucks don't have those kind of players other than Bledsoe.
That's the point Ram has been making for the last 2 months, though. He said the same thing once these guys get in the bubble.
Ram, who we will talk to, lucked into that take then. Because now
it's looking like a pretty solid.
That is right, but we're also in a bubble.
Because the Bucks, right. The Bucks are. That is the one thing. Like, I
Ram,
love Middleton.
You say shooters, shooters, shooters.
I love Giannis.
And then the whole league shuts down, and then everybody just shoots at will. So congratulations.
But look at these backcourts, like last night.
The pandemic has helped prove you right.
Well, last night, like, look at the Rockets backcourt with Westbrook and with Harden. And look at Damian Lillard and CJ. Like, look what Damian Lillard's doing right now. You do need more from your backcourt. And Dante, I like Dante. I really do. I just don't know that he's ready for playoff basketball. He may be a couple years away still. And Bledsoe, it's hard to judge because he only played 18 minutes yesterday. Gave you 8 points, but it was his first game back in months.
Ram, you want to take a victory lap after three games of meaningless basketball?
Well, it's not meaningless basketball. These are all NBA games. And all basketball count. I'm from the old school. You lace them up, you're ready to play. If you're not ready to play, don't get your ass on the court. Simple. Simple. No excuses.
What do the Bucks need to do here? How much trouble are they?
Okay, this is my problem with the Bucks. It starts with last summer. They didn't make no adjustments. You know how we said for the Packers they didn't get no receivers? We didn't get no guards. I'm real big in basketball. Is where you pick players in the draft. These GMs know what these players can do. And I'm this big in basketball. I go back almost 40-something years. I look at a player from high school to college to the pros. So if you haven't had no taste of winning, it's hard to just say, oh, you're in the NBA, we're paying you, you got to make it. No, it don't work that way. It don't work. And when you look at some of the Bucks picks, I just don't think that they really fortified that backcourt. They got role players in the backcourt that, you know, you're just saying, well, we're going to pay you, and then over time you're going to get better and things are going to work out. I don't really think that works that way. Because when you look at the last 2 days, what y'all didn't talk about is the turnovers. They don't have 40 turnovers.
Yeah, you're right about that.
In the last 40 turnovers. You know how many points you get off turnover with a team that got quick, savvy guards?
Well, yeah, they shot better from the floor, and they out-rebounded again yesterday. Right. They out-rebounded the Nets by 15. There's no reason you should lose the game, but right,
now,
you turn the ball over.
Too. We brag about this Bucks bench, and they got beat again. Their bench is not that good. I keep telling people that. Their bench is not that good. Now, for the long season, it might be. For this type of basketball, like it's just like the NCAA tournament. This is what this thing is like going to be like. NCAA tournament with a little AAU. And I just don't think they got the YMCA grit, playground grit guys that can get buckets. We don't got nobody like that.
The Devin Bookers.
And that's going to be a problem. Now, we're in a bubble. Y'all keep mentioning bubble. One thing I like, I think what you and Ryan did say. So you're in a bubble. You know how you get scouting reports? Normally it's like they're watching film. Now they don't have to get no film. They can just have somebody sit there and watch.
Yeah, they can go to the game or they just watch the game on TV. There's nothing else to do.
Sit there and watch.
Guys are tweeting about everybody playing. I mean, they're all watching each other.
Hit up Space Mountain or It's a Small World, you know, running to Chris Paul. Hey, did you see what Bledsoe did the other night?
Yeah.
They don't have nobody with a guard if they're in the ISO that can put the ball on the floor and take off and go right by them. All this shooters got to be waiting there for the ball. They're almost going to be pretty much wide open. But in the half court, if you can't do that and someone comes toward you, they pass the ball up, so they pass the shot up. And then sometimes I notice they take a lot of bad shots.
Yeah.
They take like they get in panic mode, like in the Houston game. That shot Middleton took, that was a panic shot.
It is all bad. See, in this bubble now, Ram, as always, mucho thank you. It is It is all basketball.
Those are all really good points, though.
I am resisting any sort of panic about the Bucks. I don't want to. I don't want to panic.
I'll panic tomorrow if they lose to the Heat at 3 p.m. I will panic.
I don't want to panic because, again, these games don't mean anything. So they're going to play this little 8-game thing and then go right into a first-round playoff.
Do you believe that, though, that they don't mean anything? Because I feel like it's going to be hard to pick up the intensity to jump right back into playoff basketball. Now, again, luckily you'll have a first-round series. But, man, even these teams in the – like, okay, I want the Nets. Because, okay, they beat you yesterday. That'll never happen again. I would make that same bet I made yesterday, Bucks minus 18, 100 out of 100 times.
Well,
but
I'm
the
just,
Magic
– I'm worried about how well these other teams are shooting. And I am worried – again, I'm worried that I've watched all of these games. This is so awesome.
Yeah.
There was so much basketball.
I know. I haven't missed one.
Good basketball.
Yeah.
These games are good.
Yeah. I haven't missed one of them.
Like from start to finish, these games are good. And these teams, part of it is because they look like they're playing like the best version of themselves. And they're giving it for 48 minutes. All these teams are. Mm-hmm. And so maybe the Bucks aren't like these other teams. These other teams look like they've all caught up. So what's going to be different is whatever was going to happen, that's not how things are going to play out now. The Nets would not have beat the Bucks had it regularly played out in the real world. That would not have been a loss for them. They'd be the one seed already. But in this bubble where things are different and shooters shoot, things are different. Ed is in West Dallas. What's up, Ed?
Hey, how you doing? First time caller here.
Oh, well, welcome to the program. It's very good to have you at 414-799-1250 as I stall to find our... Here we go. It feels like the first time. Here we go. And to quote the late, great, although not late, Frames, don't be a foreigner to the show.
All right, I won't be. I'm glad you answered my call. I got some concerns about the Bucks. It seemed like the same old Bucks. Last year, they don't adjust. They throwing up threes. They really like they have no rhythm, no organized offense. They just big man shooting the threes and everything. And then if you're not hitting them, other teams getting the rebounds, and they all running you because you're big man down there. They all running you and scoring. And if you notice what teams doing now, they used to build a wall for Giannis. Now they let Giannis go in, and if Giannis not alert, he's thinking that the guys is going to be open on the perimeter and throw the ball out. Guess what the team's doing now? They sending a man to each of the guys that's at the perimeter. Yep. Now Giannis is caught up in the air. I done seen that like maybe three or four times in the game.
Yeah, you're right.
That they get caught up in the air because they thinking, okay, he's open. Now they not open. Now they got a bad shot turnover. You know, you think about Mike, the coach. He have good winning regular season records, but he never produces in the playoffs. That's because he's stubborn and he doesn't adjust. And the Bucks do not have no athletic guards, like the previous caller said, to be able to give him a shot. And they, you know, Milton. Who would you rather have, Milton or Ingram?
Ingram.
I think I would have Ingram because Milton seemed like he's not that tough. You know, shooter. I don't understand. You look at all the different teams. They got that third guy that can bam, just get them the buckets. T.J. Warren, really? Come on. That's all I wanted to say. The Bucks do not adjust, and I'm afraid that you know we might be singing the same song we did last year. You know, when we lost to Toronto. That's all I have to say.
Ed, thanks for a call. Don't be a foreigner to the show. We appreciate you coming on, 414-799-1250.
Should have picked up Carmelo Anthony. I'll die on that hill. I don't care. You guys see Carmelo again last night?
Yeah, he was good. He hit a big shot.
I get it. Marvin Williams is the better system player.
He helped win me $8 on a single-entry DraftKings.
And again, like, this is the difference between, like you said, playing in your own arena or another team's arena in what basketball usually looks like with fans in attendance. And this bubble situation where it's like an AAU-style game, this is what benefits guys like Carmelo Anthony, whereas Marvin Williams, like, you know, players like that, great players in regular basketball, but this ain't regular basketball anymore. I want a guy that could go out and get buckets. I agree with that caller right there, especially with what teams are doing against Giannis. And I also agree, like, I love Coach Bud, and I still believe the Bucks are winning the finals. I have money that proves it. But I do think that you're going to have to make some adjustments. I don't want to see teams shoot open jumpers. I mean, who are you really – like, look at the teams you're going to face off with. Like, who scares you as far as this guy is going to create his own shot, take it to the bucket? I'm scared of all the shooters on Miami and all the shooters on Toronto.
You know, I came into the show today. I came into the show not too concerned. Just this half hour, I'm...
Well, don't be concerned yet. They lose tomorrow, you be concerned. But I think there are some concerning things that we should discuss.
Well, it's here in your concern level, 1 to 10. Nate Marzon, big Bucks fan, he got a lot of responses on a tweet, so I'm just going to jack his responses instead of doing it on ourselves. Your concern level. That coming up, 799-1250.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better over
here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.